This is Geek Speak. The views expressed in this program are not necessarily those of KOSP. Today we're not going to talk about pianos. We're going to talk about computers, as we normally do on Geek Speak. And I'm your host, Lyle Troxell. I'm going to be here for the next month or so, filling in until we find a permanent host. Today I have with me John Tracy. John works at Cabrillo College, and we're going to be talking about CDs, DVDs, optical drives, and the like. So, John, hi.
Hi.
I wanted to ask you first, how long have you been in computers?
Ever since we bought our first Commodore 64, way back whenever that was, early 80s.
When monitors were TVs.
Right.
Right.
And instead of a CD-ROM drive, you had a tape drive. I remember those days.
Yeah, I remember the tape drive. Before the tape drive, I remember having a VIC-20. Before the tape drive, before there was any kind of storage, you programmed your program. Took you 3 or 4 hours to do something interesting. And then, of course,
the cat would unplug your computer.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. You'd lose power and it was gone. But now we have a myriad of storage devices. And the latest and greatest, of course, is what everyone's talking about is DVD recordable, which isn't out yet, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, there's actually three types of DVD recordable. There's the DVD RAM, which is out. There's a DVD plus RW, which is a format that's not quite out yet. It's been promised for the last 2 or 3 years, still in the works. And then there's DVD-R, which is Panasonic's drive, which is out.
Now, is that only Panasonic? No one else is doing it?
Only Panasonic, and it's about $4,000 or $5,000.
Whoa.
It's what companies use to make DVDs for their consumer base product.
Right. What about DVD RAM? You mentioned that first.
DVD RAM. It's uses a removable cartridge with a DVD inside it.
Now, it's still the same size DVD. Still looks like a CD. We're all familiar.
Sort of, except it's trapped in a cartridge.
I remember the early CDs had the same type of thing. Cartridge based. Media was inside. You couldn't actually take it out.
Right. With the DVD RAM, there are two different types of cartridge. The Type 1 cartridge you cannot take out. It holds about 5 gigabytes, 5.2 gigabytes.
Whoa. And it's recordable once.
Recordable once, and it's two-sided. So you get 2.6 gigabytes on one side, 2.6 gigabytes on the other side. The Type 2 cartridge for DVD RAM, you can actually record your data in the cartridge. Then you can take that cartridge, the DVD out of the cartridge, take it to someone else's computer, and who has a DVD-ROM drive, and it'll most likely read it. Not every DVD drive will read it, only the ones that can read DVD-ROM.
Right, right. Okay, so it's a specific difference, a lot like CD writable and CD rewritable.
Right.
Okay.
At the lower end of the spectrum, we've got, of course, the standby CD-ROM, which is kind of replaced the floppy as the way to store information and to put information on your computer. If you want a more flexible version, you've got CDR, which is the CD that you can write to once, and then it's permanently, that's the data you have.
Okay.
You can, however, add more data at a later time.
Depending on what kind of drive you have.
Most drives can append to the data,
right.
But yeah, depending on which drive you've got. And then there's CDRW, which is sort of more flexible. It uses a magnetic-based media, but it's a very stable magnetic-based media. It's not like you have on a hard drive or a floppy disk.
So you can't just erase it by running it through a magnet.
Right. You have to do what's called a magnetic phase change. You're changing the media back to its original state.
Okay.
It's a formatting process. Takes upwards of an hour.
So I'm not totally sure about this, but I think how it works is you put the disk basically in a magnetic field, and then you use the laser, and then you're resetting the bits instead of burning the bits.
Exactly.
I can't be sure which is positive or negative, but in any case, one way it burns them to one state, you turn the phase on of the magnetic field, and you burn it again, and it goes to the other state.
Right.
And that's basically a one-time or multiple-time thing, but
it takes a while.
And you have to completely format the drive.
Right.
Okay, so let's get right into the reality part of all of this. What... most of the time what people want is, what I want, of course, is to upgrade my machine so that I can play the newest games or I can watch the newest movies on my computer.
All right. Those are two very different things. If you're playing a game that requires the fastest possible CD-ROM drive,
mm-hmm.
you should actually go and get the fastest possible CD-ROM drive. It'll be a 48 times speed CD-ROM drive, because the fastest DVD-ROMs cannot match the speed of the fastest CD-ROMs.
Okay, but let's be clear about that. A DVD can play a CD.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. But the DVD, the best DVD out there, can't play a CD as fast as the best CD player can play a CD.
Right.
Right? Okay.
But it can play it.
It can play it, and relatively fast.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, speeds of up to 24 times.
Yeah, so that's not really that bad. I mean, a year ago, 24 times was top of the line on CDs.
Right.
Right.
If you want to watch movies, of course, you need a DVD drive, DVD-ROM. If you're lucky enough to have a new Macintosh computer, all except for the low-end iMacs come with a DVD-ROM built in. Most other manufacturers are going to DVD-ROM as a standard.
Okay. Now, there's also two different ways to play or to descramble your DVD, because it's an MPEG movie on the DVD player. So once it comes off, you have to have either a card to get it back out to video.
Right, to uncompress the video.
Right, to use the codec to uncompress it. Or you have to use the processor, and of course that's processor intensive on your machine, and while you're playing DVDs, you're not going to be able to do other things, or you're going to lose frames.
And generally that's called hardware versus software decompression.
That makes sense.
The best is, of course, hardware decompression. It's a little bit more. It's something that rides on a card. A lot of times it can attach to an existing video card. Mm-hmm. Some, like ATI RAGE cards, they have a spot to attach a DVD
output.
Decoder. Yeah.
Decoder, right.
Most computers, it's a mix. Some use software, some use hardware.
About the Macs? Do they use software or hardware?
They used to use hardware. Now since the G4s, they use software.
Okay. I'm going to invite people to call in if they have any DVD, CD-ROM questions or optical drives in general. We'll try to answer them as best we can. Probably be taking calls in the next 10 minutes or so. But let's keep on going on to DVD and CDs. Let's say I want to play the newest game out there needs a DVD player. Can I just pull out my CD-ROM and throw a DVD in?
Sure, you can, but it won't do anything.
How so?
Well, CD-ROMs can't read DVD. The way the data is formatted on a DVD is it looks like a CD, but it's a lot denser. The data is packed in there a lot tighter.
Okay, so I've got to get another drive.
A DVD-ROM drive.
DVD-ROM drive. Right. Okay, and now in a Mac, how easy is that to do?
To get a DVD-ROM drive?
Huh?
If you're about to buy a computer, it's really easy.
Just
get it with one in it. If you don't have one, in a Mac or a PC, you can buy them. Internal ones, they're as low as $160 up to about $200-$300 for the high-end ones.
And if people are interested in that, they can, of course, go to their favorite search engine and find out.
Right. The DVDs run at 16 speed.
Okay, so that's the average. Max. That's the average line
That's actually the high end.
Okay.
Make sure you don't buy one any slower than 12 speed. And a note about DVD RAMs, if you're buying a DVD RAM, don't buy them any slower than 6 times speed.
Okay.
Oh, and can I say a quick note about times?
Sure.
What that means? Because you'll see CD-ROMs that go at 48 times and DVDs that go at 16 times. There's a difference of magnitude in between those. The CD runs at 150 kilobits per second. That's what the times mean. So if it's a 1 times, that means it's transferring 150 kilobytes every second.
Now, that's based off the audio standard of CD players in an audio environment.
Exactly.
Where you have a live feed off the CD, and that is a 1 time speed, and that would basically be the needed material to play CD quality sound.
Yeah.
And on a DVD, of course, the baseline would be DVD video.
Right, which is 1.38 megabytes per second, roughly an order of magnitude faster.
Wow.
Yeah.
Quite a bit faster.
Yeah.
So when you have a DVD player playing its stream at, let's say, you say 16 times DVD is the base level right now, it's going to be outputting
at the high end.
Excuse me. It's going to be outputting quite a bit more data than a 16-speed CD-ROM.
Correct.
Okay, that makes sense. The phone numbers for KOSP are 476-2800, that's local, or 1-800-655-5877 if you're calling from outside the 831 area code. Let's say I want to get a CD-ROM burner because I want to back up some of my MPEG-3s or something else.
All right. If you've got a small amount of data that you want to back up continuously, and you've heard that other removable media aren't so reliable, such as zip disks, JAD disks, the same, all that stuff, CDR would be a good way to go. media is really cheap. You can get it in bulk for as low as 80 cents a disk. It holds 650 megabytes. And then when you're done with that disk, when you need to redo the disk, or you need to put more data that it can hold, or you want to update the data,
right.
You can, I know this isn't environmentally conscious, but you can throw the disk away.
Because it's only a buck or 80 cents, right?
And it's a little bit of plastic.
Okay.
The other way, if you have a lot of data you're trying to back up, you can use a DVD RAM, which will hold 2.6 gigabytes per side. So roughly 5.2.
And how much do those run?
The drives themselves are between $300 and $700. The media form is about $40.
Okay,
depending on the type of cartridge.
In that situation, you don't want to throw it away necessarily. You probably want to plan out a little bit better.
Well, with the DVD RAM, you don't have to. DVD RAM, you can put in, and it's basically acts like a really big hard drive. You don't have to rewrite it.
Oh, I see. You
don't
just
have to
keep
reformat
on adding
it.
Stuff to it. Well, you can even rewrite it.
Exactly.
Oh, that's
it's
nice.
Like an extended hard drive that moves a little slower, and the data is much more permanent.
Do you happen to know the throughput
of a DVD RAM?
That's right. That's how much data can transfer on and off the DVD RAM. Well, let's do this. Let's take a call while you look that up, John. We have Mary on line 6, wants to know more about backing up CD-ROM backups. So let's see if we can get her on.
Hi.
Hello, Mary.
Hi. Thank you for letting me ask the question.
Certainly.
I was getting a CD-ROM, the rewritable CDs, to try and back things up from my computer, doing just a backup program.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense? Or you were talking about the non-rewritable ones.
The ones that you write one time?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Does it make sense to... Because I was thinking you could just then reuse those disks as you back up, and then it wouldn't have to copy files that are already on the disk.
Let me field the start of that. First of all, of course, you have to have a CD-ROM burner, and there's two different types. There's one that will do rewritables, and uh-huh. then there's the base level one that does not do rewritables.
Oh, I see.
So if you have a rewritable, then yes, you can get rewritable media, but you should look at the price difference, because it's quite possible that the one-time burn CDs are going to be cheaper in the long run for you than the multiple read.
Oh, I see.
And the reason for that is it takes a long time. It takes longer to burn or to record on a rewritable CD.
Oh, I see.
And rewritable CD drives can be more expensive. So
okay.
It depends if you have one. Do you have a rewritable? Or?
No, I don't. That's why I wanted to find out.
Right, before you purchased one.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Actually, a lot of drives you buy today will be both CDR and CDRW.
Okay.
Most drives, it's getting harder and harder to find one that's just CDR. When you do, they're generally $100 to $200 less.
I see.
And the media, as I was saying, is about around a dollar. And then you can keep adding the data onto that CDR. If it is data that changes every week,
uh-huh.
and you wanted to add a totally new set of data in, CDRW could make sense, as long as you don't mind the 1 hour or so to reformat the CDR media and then write the data back to it.
Okay, great. This really answered a lot of questions. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Well, we've got another call, so we'll just go right into that. We have David. He wants to know the quality of CD-ROMs. Let's see if we can answer that question for him. Yeah. Hi, David.
Hello. Yeah, I just started using my new CDRW that I've got. It seems to be fine. But my question has to do with the quality of the discs themselves. As you know, there's a big variation in the price, such as you buy the name brand and you know, might be paying a buck and a half a disc, and you buy the stacks and they're about 25 cents. I noticed on a couple of copies that I made that there was a skip in there. And so is there a chance that it's the media, or if it was the quality of the recording? Is it worth it to pay more?
If you try a name brand media, like TDK, Maxell, something like that, Sony, and you do notice it doesn't skip, chances are it is with the media. Some drives are a little more finicky. If you haven't paid much for the drive, you should probably pay a little bit more for the media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of a trade-off. Yeah.
Well, it's a name brand. It's a Hewlett-Packard CDRW. So it's not...
Okay. Those, generally speaking, can handle any kind of media. But mm-hmm. if you are experiencing skips, it's always good to try getting the stack of name brand CDs. I know they're about 80 cents to $1.20 per CD.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are finding that you're having a lot of problems, that can actually be worth more than getting the 25 cent ones that you're having problems with.
Not a lot of problems, but just on an occasion I've noticed it. And... And say the second question, if I might. I was making a copy of some software. It's a licensed software. I was just going to be using it on a different machine that I have at a different location. And when I was duplicating the disk, it gave me an error, and it said it had some letters after it. I didn't really look at it very closely. Is there generally a problem with duplicating software from CD to CD? And I have two drives, so it doesn't have to pass through the hard drive.
There are some ways that licensed media, especially games, will be copyrighted.
Yeah, no, this is non-game.
Non-game.
Is this music?
No, it's Corel. Corel WordPerfect.
Okay, so files. Corel WordPerfect files?
No, it was the program.
Oh, the program itself. Okay, so you're making a backup of that program.
Exactly.
And you're having trouble with it, that you can't install
me,
from that.
It gave me an error message, and I wasn't sure. I haven't tried to use it, to use the copy, the duplicate that I made, but it gave me an error message.
Oh, after the CD was burnt.
After the CD was burnt.
Yeah, that means that you had some kind of burning, some kind of recording problem, meaning that your buffer didn't. What happens when you're? Let me get Sean Cleveland. He just walked in the door. Let's see if we can answer this question. Sean, we're talking about CDs and recording. And what happens when you get an error at the end of your recording? Why has that happened?
He was trying to burn a licensed CD.
Correct, and it said something like AABX error, reinstall software, or something like that.
Is this on a PC or a Macintosh?
PC.
Well, generally what happens when you get an error, it's, you get what's called a buffer underrun. It means that your CDR, your CDRW drive can't keep up with the amount of data that's being fed to it.
It wasn't that, though. It was odd, because I kind of expected perhaps that, but it wasn't a buffer error.
Right.
Do you know if it happened early on, or was it later during the burn?
It was at the end of the burn that I got the error message.
Now, a lot of times, companies will build in CD protection in the way of it'll cause an error during a burn, because... Well, of course, they don't want their media to be copied.
Right.
And that could be the case. They could have put a known error at the end of the disk.
Yeah, see, this is a great trick, what they do. It's really actually quite clever. Companies that are doing software don't want you to be copying your other applications, because, of course, then you can pass them on to friends. And
right, which wasn't the case here, but I understand.
Right, of course. And so what they do is they actually intentionally put an error on the CD, and the install application that's on the CD, or the multiple install applications, will know that error is there and won't use that part of the disk. But when you're trying to copy it, the error is picked up, and therefore the burn won't take place. So it's a really clever trick of not allowing you to record. Now, that could have been the problem.
It could have been. Also, companies will make the disk that you buy actually larger than 650 megs. So you might actually have a 670, 80 meg disk. Now, you don't know the difference, because they're mass producing these disks. And of course, your disk will only hold 650, 660 megs.
In this case, I've got, a 700 meg disk. And so it sounds like it was an intentional error put on there, is my guess.
Yeah.
Is this something you get all the time?
I've only tried it once. I've only tried it once.
Okay. Well, thank you, David.
Okay, thanks for your help.
All right, take care. Okay. We have another call. First, let me introduce Sean Cleveland. He just came in. Hi, Sean.
Hello. It's good to be here.
Good of you to make it. The traffic on 17, as everyone knows, is hard at some point. So thanks for showing up. I appreciate it.
No problem.
And I'm sure all the listeners do. Sean used to be the editor-in-chief
technical editor,
for, well, go ahead, you speak, I'm sure you can speak better for yourself.
Boot and Maximum PC Magazines.
So, prior to that, you were actually, worked at a company making CD-ROM drives.
Actually, yes, Meridian Data.
So you're kind of an expert.
Close by in Scotts Valley, yeah.
Local.
The first CDR drive was about the size of a washing machine, and had an onboard air conditioning unit.
And was that a one-speed drive?
Yeah. And it wrote its data from tape, like
from tape.
Big spools of tape.
And did it control the tape feed in so that
it was a nightmare.
Yeah, I bet.
It was a technical nightmare. After that, we used Kodak Panasonic drives in the 1, 2X range, about the size of a VCR. But, of course, technology has really come a long way since then. And now we have 12X CDR drives with 8X CDRW speeds.
Oh.
Which are pretty amazing for just a couple $100.
Yeah, that's nice. We have another call. This is going to be a question about... It's from Steve. That's where I got the name Steve. It's about DVD RAM on a Mac. So let's see if we can help him out. Hi, Steve.
Hi, good evening. I'm in the market for buying two pieces of equipment. One is a new Macintosh G4 that either has a DVD-ROM or a DVD-RAM, and I think I want the DVD-RAM, as you'll understand from the rest of the question. And the other is potentially a new DVD player. But what I'm wondering is...
For your home?
Yes, for viewing, you know, either rented or purchased DVD movies. And I'm wondering if it's... if I record something with the DVD-RAM that's built into the Macintosh, do I need? Can I read that on a DVD-RAM player, a regular DVD player that's designed to play movies?
No, generally not. The DVD-RAM format can only be played on DVD players that are meant to also play the DVD-RAM format. And at the time, I don't think there's probably four or five out there that can do that.
Correct. The only one that could possibly do it is the Pioneer DVD-R drive. That it actually for a $4,000 to $5,000 drive actually writes to the DVD specification. You could conceivably make a disc that could be played in a DVD player, but you would need software to write. If you're taking video, it's got to be encoded on the DVD in a special way. So although the drive may cost you $4,000 or $5,000, the studio equipment and software to put it in a video format could run you $50,000 to $100,000.
Let's talk about for a minute. Well, Dave, Steve, does that answer your question?
Well, not quite, but because the second half is so. Therefore, if I do want to view movies that I play in the DVD RAM drive that's on my Mac, can I just take a video out and feed it to a video display that I can watch the movie on?
Absolutely. If you had the capabilities to do that, it would have to have DVD RAM capabilities on the DVD drive.
Well, he's just talking about playing movies from his Mac.
Yeah, I rent a movie from the local place down the street that's on DVD, and I put it in my Mac's DVD RAM drive and take video out from the Mac and pump it into my monitor.
Right. You could get a card like an iX Micro TV card that does video out to television.
iX Micro?
Uh-huh. They're a corporation that makes different cards, different video cards.
And what's the specific video card I use for that application?
There's a TV card. I'm not sure the exact name of it, but it actually is made to do TV out, to do your Mac, whatever you're showing on the screen on your Macintosh.
I can't just take the Super VGA output from either the video card or the video port.
Directly to a television?
Right.
No, unfortunately, they're different formats. You're talking pixels versus lines.
No, but I mean, if I use the DVD movie player that's running on the Mac to play the movie on the Mac screen and then take the Mac's video output to a large screen TV, can I watch a DVD movie from my Mac?
As long as it has a VGA input, yes.
Output.
As long as the TV has a VGA input, such as an S video, you might be able to do it that way.
Yeah, I just go S video.
Yes. Yeah,
right. Yeah, that, I'm sorry. Definitely. Yes, that way you can.
Okay, thanks. You've answered my question.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the history of CDs and DVDs. Since you're here, Sean, we can ask a little bit about that. When you started, you said the drives were huge and they're getting better and better all the time. What's the average speed right now of or average cost rather, excuse me, of a like baseline DVD player in the computer?
Oh, I have a DVD player.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it depends if you get an IDE or SCSI. It doesn't really matter because there isn't enough media out there for DVD to really warrant the speeds that they're delivering right now on drives.
So you can get an IDE and
pretty much any DVD-ROM drive will play a movie, and that's about all you're going to find out there, except for a few games that actually utilize and maybe some multimedia stuff. I think the future is going to be DVD recordable as far as what's really going to drive DVD-ROM even, because there's just not enough data of 4.7 gigabyte size to make these companies, and not enough demand from consumers for these companies to start putting out DVD-ROM discs.
Okay, makes sense. So,
But video. When video comes and DVD recordable formats finally merge into a single standard that consumers can use and afford, then we'll have large amounts of data that will make all these DVD-ROM drives worth owning.
Worth it, right. So what is the problem with getting these drives out and the software out? I mean, there seems to be a lot of restriction on DVD coming out. What's going on?
Yeah, on the recordable side, it's a bunch of companies are split, and I have to say it's because of patents. Everybody wants to own the patent rights to DVD recordable technology. So the DVD Forum, which is basically the largest members include Panasonic, Hitachi, and Toshiba, who've come up with DVD RAM technology, which is on its second generation at 4.7 gigabytes. It's just coming out. And then there's DVD Plus RW, which is the non-DVD Forum specification. They call themselves the DVD Plus RW Consortium. They're backed by Sony, Philips, Hewlett-Packard, Ricoh, Yamaha.
So that's a pretty big, large group of people.
Yeah, they're both very large.
And they're competing against each other.
Yeah, unfortunately, they're competing.
The big comparison is Betamax and
VHS. VHS, right, yeah. So it's happening again.
People are trying to figure out which one is which.
Right.
I guess DVD RAM has the lead because they actually have two generations of drives out, whereas the Plus RW camp doesn't even have their first generation out yet.
Right. We have another call, so let's see if we can get to that. This is Doug. He wants to know about Mac purchases and archiving. So, hi, Doug. You there?
Yeah, hi. I presently have a Performa. I got in 94. It's a 6100 power PC. And I've got a iAmiga 1 gigabyte Jazz drive for archiving.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, this is just part of my question. I'm thinking about getting a new Mac in the near future. And I'm wondering how much of my old peripherals I need to scrap. You know, for instance, the iMac has USB ports. And,
right.
My peripherals have SCSI ports.
It's all a function of money. You can keep anything you want. It's just a function of getting the adapters you want. If you get the $1,000 iMac, which has both FireWire and USB,
mm-hmm.
Orange has just come out with a SCSI to FireWire converter that's just great. I don't know the price yet.
The name of the company is Orange?
Uh-huh, Orange.
Okay. And just generally, I mean, the Jazz drive seems to work fine for me. Is there any big advantage to go to a new kind of archiving?
If you've been having good luck with the Jazz, you might want to... You could stick with it. I've heard both way on the Jazz and Zip both. The media tends to go bad within a short time frame.
Mm-hmm.
Short being within a year or two, which is pretty short for media. Jazz drives, Zip drives, both tend to fail after a certain time. I'm not trying to scare you off, but if you are using it as your primary source of backup,
right,
you should do it at least on a couple of disks.
Yeah, inexpensive, lots of moving parts.
Yeah.
What would you consider a superior archiving media at the moment, then? I'm following your discussion, but I still don't know if...
I personally switched from Zip Drive to a CDRW.
CDRW.
Yeah. But I'm using the CDR part of the CDRW.
Right, and then you can just throw away discs if you don't want them to. I mean, I followed that part where the discs were cheaper.
I actually found if you don't throw them away, it's kind of nice. I got a virus, which is kind of rare on a Mac, and I had to go back three archives back to find the data that wasn't corrupted with this virus.
Oh, so it's good to just keep them on hand, yeah.
Never a bad idea to have too many backups.
What about other peripherals? I mean, I've got an old 2400 color StyleWriter, and it works fine for my, I have relatively modest needs on a computer.
To get that to run on the iMac, you're going to have to get an adapter. It's about $40 and works with pretty good reliability.
Generally, do you think it's okay just to keep the peripherals and go for the adapters? Does that make sense?
Look into the price of it. I would definitely add up the price of the adapters before you buy anything, and then look at the cost of a new printer. I know Epson printers are like
You should also think about performance. I mean, printers are less likely, but on other equipment, the performance of it, the throughput, a lot of factors will play into whether you should get a new peripheral or get a...
Are adapters generally reliable on the throughput?
No.
Oh, okay. So, you're going to get a smoother running machine if I got USB or FireWire peripherals with the new Mac?
Yes.
Yes.
What about a monitor if I chose to get, rather than an iMac, if I chose just to get a G4 and kept my old monitor? Is that going to work?
Is it an Apple monitor?
Yeah.
Believe it or not, it won't work.
Oh, it won't work.
It won't, okay.
The old Apple monitors don't work with the new Mac.
You know, this is a good time. Doug, thank you for your call. I'm going to have to go.
All right, thank you.
This is a good time to talk about next week's show. We're going to be doing monitors and video cards for Macs and PCs, so tune in for that. That'll be next week at 6:30, regular time. John and Sean, thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
All right.